Welcome to TanakhStudy.com. This is Gad Dishi, and together we're studying Sefer Melachim.
Perek Tet. Vehi kichalot Shlomo levnot et bet Adonai ve'et bet Melech ve'et kol heshek Shlomo asher hafetz la'asot. So this perek begins similarly to the break we had in Perek Het. Vehi kichalot Shlomo. There was when Shlomo finished to pray to Hashem about the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash, and here is when Shlomo completed. But here is when he completed to build Beit HaMikdash and the Armon and all the buildings that Shlomo found fancy to build. And we read in earlier Prakim that that would include the Ulam HaKiseh and Beit Yad HaLevanon and the other impressive buildings that Shlomo built in Yerushalayim. Now, those buildings took some time to complete, and we know that at least the Armon took another 13 years. Soon we'll see perhaps some support for the understanding that those 13 years were not concurrent in any way with the years of the building of Beit HaMikdash, but rather subsequent to them. But it was after that time that Shlomo finished those buildings that we get the following information. Pasuk Bet. Vayera Adonai el Shlomo shenit, ka'asher nirah elav be'giv'on. And Hashem appeared to Shlomo a second time, as he appeared to him in Giv'on. Now, Giv'on was ways in the beginning. Before Shlomo even started building Beit HaMikdash, that's when Shlomo asked to have the Lev Shomea for the nation, and when Hashem gave him the wisdom and all of the brachot. And now we're having another revelation by Hashem to Shlomo, Nevuah, something that David was not Zocher, and Shlomo was. And here we're going to see what Hashem has to tell him, if it's anything new or a repeat of what it is that we had before. ויאמר אדוני אליו, שמעתי את תפילתך ואת תחינתך אשר התחננת לפני, הקדשתי את הבית הזה אשר בנית לשום שמשם עד עולם, והיו עיני ולבי שם כל הימים. Hashem tells him, I heard your tefillah and your supplication, your prayers that you put before me to sanctify this house that you've built in order for me to put my honor there forever, and my eyes and heart will be there all the days, forever. Meaning Hashem heard Shlomo's tefillah in regards to the Beit HaMikdash. Again, all the language is very similar, almost word for word, of what Shlomo was asking from Hashem. If we go back to the wording in Perek Het, these are the exact words that Shlomo was using. And indeed, Hashem is responding that he heard those tefillot. Very interestingly is, of course, that the building of the Beit HaMikdash was finished after year 7 of the building, and the rest of the buildings, and we'll see, probably were a subsequent 13 years, and therefore this answer of Hashem to Shlomo's tefillah is 13 years, at least, after Shlomo made that tefillah. And we'll have to ask ourselves why Hashem is now telling him he heard this tefillah. Now let's see what the follow-up is on that, listening to the tefillah. Ve'ata im telech lefanai, ka'asher halach David avicha betom levav, ubiyosher, la'asot k'chol asher sefiticha, hukai, u'mishpatai teshmor. And you, if you follow in my ways, the way that David your father did, with wholeheartedly and with justice to do everything that I have commanded you, and you keep and observe all of my laws and precepts, then v'hakimoti et kisem ha'machtecha al Yisrael le'olam, then I will establish your kingdom over Am Yisrael forever. Ka'asher dibarti al David avicha lemor, just like I had promised David, lo yikaretecha ish me'al kisei Yisrael. You'll never have anybody break the succession of kingship from the throne. Im shov teshuvun, if you rebel, if you turn away, atem ubnechem me'acharai, if you turn away from following me, you and your all your children, ve'lo teshmiruch mitzvotai chukotai asher natati lifnechem, and you don't observe the mitzvot and the laws that I've given to you, ve'alachtem ve'avatem elim acharim ve'hishtachavitem lahem, you're going to worship avodah zarah and bow down to them, ve'chrati et Yisrael me'al pnei adama asher natati lahem, then I'm going to destroy Am Yisrael from on the face of the planet, from the land that I gave to them, and the home, the Beit HaMikdash that I consecrated for my name, Ashallah me'al panai, I will send from before me, meaning Hashem will destroy Beit HaMikdash, v'haya Yisrael l'mashav l'shnina b'chol ha'amim. And Am Yisrael will become the example and the most used example amongst all the nations for an example of destruction and devastation. V'habayit hazeh yeh elyon, kol over alav yishom v'sharak. And this house, yihyeh elyon. I think that needs to be understood here, that this house either that was supposed to be reigning supreme and now is destroyed, or you could say habayit hazeh elyon, yihyeh elyon, and this Beit HaMikdash is going to be the prime example of a house that was destroyed. Kol over alav yishom v'sharak. The number one site for devastation. Everyone is going to come and be astounded and whistling. What in the world? What happened here? Why did God do this to this country and to this house, to the Beit HaMikdash? And here the presumption is they go together. It's because they left the treaty, the brit that they gave to Hashem, they left Hashem, they took them out of Egypt, and they started to follow the ways of other gods, and bowing down to them, and worshipping them, and that's why God brought upon them all of this destruction, all this evil, really, and destruction here. So we have echoes, obviously, of Parashat Nitzavim, is almost word for word of what it is that we see here. We also have this blurring of, in the beginning, God telling Shlomo that if he follows the ways of God, his kingdom will continue. And then if they don't, then suddenly all of Am Yisrael is involved, and all of Am Yisrael is going to be destroyed, and the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, but there's no mention of the destruction of the kingship. And therefore, some people want to understand that there was two pieces of the message. One was towards the kingship, which was only formulated in the positive formulation, that if you do keep our ways, the throne will be a continuing asset of Am Yisrael. And then a switch to a different point altogether, which is about Am Yisrael, which is only formulated in the negative, which is if you don't follow the ways of Hashem, then Am Yisrael will be destroyed. I think that the idea really is to tie together the kingship with the nation, and that Shlomo's ways are going to be indicative and leading the fate of the nation, and that he needs to take stock of the fact that all of the nation and Beit HaMikdash is riding on he and his children's performance and of mitzvot. And in addition, the idea of why this is here now, after 13 years of having Beit HaMikdash, some want to posit that indeed it's because Beit HaMikdash is meant to be used as a focus for spiritual improvement and for getting closer to Hashem. And we pointed out in the tefillah of the idea of forgiveness, people understanding that they are guilty and they need forgiveness, and not just for the artificial mechanical bringing of korbanot. And perhaps after all these years of the Beit HaMikdash functioning, they began to lose that message, and therefore God came to reinforce that idea. Another idea was that it needs to be now because during these years, Shlomo's kingdom is thriving. There's lots of plenty, a lot of gold, a lot of silver, affluence. The people are beginning perhaps to lose sight of their spiritual goals, and God is coming to Shlomo to remind him, remind the people that they need to keep the mitzvot. That's why they're here. That's what the purpose of giving them Eretz Yisrael and the building of Beit HaMikdash was all about. They shouldn't lose sight. Finally, I think Rabbi Israel has in his book that perhaps this is really a forerunner, a warning that perhaps already, as we're going to see later, Shlomo's foreign policy of marrying foreign women, princesses, in order to establish political alliances had begun already to lead to a type of spiritual corruption of the introduction of foreign culture and Avodah Zarah into Yerushalayim, into Eretz Yisrael, and that was beginning to have inroads, and Hashem is trying to warn Shlomo that this is going to be a path leading to destruction, and that he needs to perhaps have a wake-up call and turn things around. I'm not mistaken, he quoted Rabbi Sabato on this as well, that this is basically an idea that if we compare to earlier Prakim of when Shlomo had his Nevuah in Giv'on, it is indeed much more of a apropos warning here. And we see that the similar warning that he had in Giv'on was perhaps L'ra'ot et ha'nolad. He was able to see into the future what was going to be important. But we have these ideas of connecting the kingship to the people, the idea of Bet HaMikdash serving as a spiritual home, and Am Yisrael being warned to continue to worship Hashem and stay away from the Avodah Zarah. And here's the Pasuk now coming up in Pasuk Yud that seems to indicate that the building of the Armon took place after the building of Bet HaMikdash. V'hi mikse 20 shana asher bana Shlomo shnei abatim et Bet Adonai ve'et Bet HaMelech. So it seems to be that it took 20 years to build the two houses, the house of Hashem and the house of the king. Now the equation between the two houses, and then the need to delineate which two we're talking about, seems to have this sense of a loss of hierarchy, in the sense that they're now equivalences, that they have the Bet Hashem and the Bet HaMelech. They seem to be two different centers that are of equal value instead of Bet HaMikdash reigning supreme. And that perhaps is already indicative of part of the decline. Let's see what happens. Chira Melech Sor Nisa et Shlomo Ba'atze Arazim U'Ba'atze Beroshim U'Ba'Zahav Lechol Chefso. And Hiram, the king of Sor, who we already met earlier, he provided for Shlomo all of the lumber and the timber that he needed for the building of the Bet HaMikdash and the gold, lechol chefso, not just the Bet HaMikdash, but everything that Shlomo wanted. And it could be that Nisa really should be Nisha, Nasha, he lent. Az yiten ha-melech Shlomo le-Hiram 20 ir be-Eretz HaGalil. Then the king Shlomo gave Hiram 20 cities in the Galil, in the north, which is adjacent to Hiram's kingdom. Now, either he gave them to him as a trade, because Shlomo ran out of agricultural produce surplus, because he had basically had a very affluent society. People moved away from working the land or for coming up with agricultural surplus, and instead were busy with administrative roles, army roles, military roles with Shlomo's administration. And so many of the farmers who were wholeheartedly producing the agricultural produce were, so to speak, taken out of the system. Or perhaps he had given Hiram the produce of those 20 cities as the security for all of the loaned money and timber. And this was supposed to be his collateral. Vayetze Hiram mitzor lirot et ha'arim eshenatan lo Shlomo v'lo yashru be'enav. And Hiram left Sor to actually see the cities that Shlomo HaMelech was assigning as the collateral or as giving them to him, and he didn't like what he saw. Some say that they were only sandy cities, they weren't really agriculturally producing land, or they weren't really populated, there really wasn't much there to provide sufficient collateral for all he's given. Well, he said, what are these cities you gave me, brother? Indicative of fellow monarchical status. We have this also later in the Sefer Melachim Aleph with Achav to Ben Hadad, v'yikra lehem eretz kavul ad hayom hazeh, and he called them the land of kavul until this day. Kavul, either meaning unsatisfactory or sounding similar to eretz givul, but some type of indicator that he wasn't pleased with what he found. Now it's not clear at this point. There's some missing information based on things that we read in Devarei Hayamim. It seems perhaps that Hiram gave back the cities to Shlomo, and in which case Shlomo populated those cities with people and had them produce the actual surplus that was supposed to be exported to Hiram. And that's why in the next pasuk we have Yishlach Hiram LaMelech 120 Kikar Zahav, and Hiram sent the king 120 kikar zahav. Now, this is not clear whether or not that's a successful solution to what just happened, or a result of a failed interaction from the previous psukim. There were 120 kikar zahav. It's not clear if that's the total sum of all the zahav he ever gave him throughout the entire building process, or it was what he gave him that particular year when he had this exchange of the cities, and perhaps the Am Yisrael was in national deficit. They needed to come up with something else instead of cash and instead of goods to provide to Hiram. And as opposed to where we have in the beginning, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he gave him Ubazahav lechol chefso, he gave him whatever he wanted. Now we have a fixed number of 120 kikar zahav. It might be something that's showing us that it's not as good as relations as we had before. Later in the Perek, towards the very end, we're going to see that they come up with a great gold find in Ophir, somewhere in Africa, and they come back with 420 kikar. And it doesn't seem to be that really Mavi Simkika could have been the gold for all the 20 years. Therefore, it's probably only for that year. And things perhaps with Hiram began to get a little bit tighter. So now we're starting to have an idea of really what it means when we say Shlomo built all the stuff that he wanted to build. And this is what he did in order to collect the taxes for building up Beit HaMikdash and the palace and the Milo, which is this landfill of all the places that they dug out in order to build Beit HaMikdash and Beit HaMelech. And they needed to put all that dirt someplace, so they built up a place of in Yerushalayim. Ve'et Homat Yerushalayim, he made the entire wall around Yerushalayim. Then he built the following cities of Chatzor and Megiddo and Gazer. Okay, and these three cities are important strategic cities, and they were all built up by Shlomo. And how did we get to Gezer? Gezer, Paro Melech Mitzrayim Alav, he called it Gezer, ve'yisrefa ba'esh, ve'tekeanani ha'yoshev ba'ir harag, ve'yitena shiluchim lebito eshet Shlomo. And so we find out that Paro was the one who conquered Gezer. He burnt it down, and he killed all the Kenani that were in the city, and he gave it over to his daughter as a gift, so to speak, as part of the marriage ceremony, or as an ongoing gift, or some type of a gesture to Shlomo. So Shlomo has this burnt down city, and he needed to build it up. Even Shlomo et Gezer ve'et Bet Choron Tachton, and he built up Gezer, and he built Bet Choron Tachton ve'et Baalat ve'et Tadmor b'Midbar ba'aretz. ואת כל ערי המסכנות אשר היו לשלמה, ואת ערי הרכב, ואת ערי הפרשים, ואת חשק שלמה, אשר חשק לבנות בירושלים ובלבנון, ובכל ארץ ממשלתו. And he also built up Baalat and Tadmor. Tadmor is in the desert. And he also built storehouses. And he also built cities that were meant only to house his chariots, and other cities to house his horses and his horsemen, and all the buildings that Shlomo wanted to build in Yerushalayim and in the Lebanon and all throughout his kingdom. Right, when we had the city of Tomer, the Tadmor could possibly be a place that's as far north near Nehar Perat, between Nehar Perat and Damascus. Kol ha'am hanotar min ha'emori ha'chiti ha'prizi ha'chaviv ha'ibusi ha'shalom b'nei Yisrael hema. Anyone left from the Amim that we were supposed to destroy, that were not from Am Yisrael, that accepted upon themselves Shevem Mitzvot Bnei Noach, presumably, and made peace. Binehem Asher Notru Acharehem Ba'aretz Asher Lo Yachlu Bnei Yisrael Le'achlimam Ve'yarem Shlomo Lemas Oved Ad Hayom Hazeh. And those people, their children that were left after them in the land, that Bnei Yisrael could not destroy them. So here it sounds like it's not because they became law-abiding citizens, but because they were posing a problem. But Vayalem Shlomo Masoved Al Yom Hazeh, Shlomo was powerful enough in order to make them to get taxes from them until this very day. Those are the people that were the people giving the taxes, so to speak, in terms of the workforce. Originally, we had Am Yisrael mentioned before about the different shifts of how many people, thousands of people, would go and be the actual workers. And again, the shift in the economy, where the Jews no longer did the menial labor, but rather they had these leftovers of the non-Jews that they weren't conquered. They began to become the people who were involved in construction. כי הם אנשי המלחמה ועבדה וסלב ושלישה וסליל כבו ופלשיו. And Bnei Israel, the Jews, Shlomo didn't give them to be slaves and to be in construction, but rather they were in the military, they were his servants, they were his people who were working in the bureaucracy and the government, or they were in charge of his chariots and his horsemen. אלה שרי הניצבים אשר אל המלאכה לשלמה, 5,500 הרודים בעם, העושים במלאכה, and Shlomo המלך now has to have a full force of tax collectors and enforcers to handle this entire tremendous kingdom of people and the administration of it and the bureaucracy of it. 550 people who are now in charge of the taxes. And this is in contrast to what we read earlier, where we had just one or two people, and then we had the different nitzavim throughout the different regions. Now we have many, many more people involved. Ach bat paro alta me'ir David el beita asher bana la az bana et hamilo. It's not clear the connection thematically with the previous section, unless we're looking at different aspects of Shlomo's kingdom, which are going to eventually become the reason for its demise. And here we had the idea of the plethora of administrative people, the shift of the economy away from the Jews being the people doing the production of gross domestic product. And instead now we have foreigners doing it, imported labor. And now we have also Bat Paro, which was this political alliance that we had echoing throughout different parts of the Prakim dealing with Shlomo. And just earlier in regards to Gezer, and now Bat Paro is going to be in particular picked out in order to tell us that she had her own palace, that she moved from Ir David to have her own place. Az bana et hamilo, and then Shlomo built the Milo, this landfill, which later changed the geography and the footpaths, the trails leading to the Beit HaMikdash. People had to go around instead of what they were able to go through freely beforehand. Ve'ela Shlomo shalosh pi'amim b'shana olot u'shlamim al mezbeach asher bana Adonai ve'hakter ito asher lifnei Adonai ve'shilam et habayit. And even though all of these early indicators of perhaps problems in Shlomo's kingdom, Shlomo was sure to make sure to also pay homage in the Beit HaMikdash that he built 3 times a year. And he would go personally, that seems to be the indication, asher bana Adonai ve'hakter ito, and he would go and do the korban with it, asher lifnei Adonai ve'shilam et habayit, and he made sure the Beit HaMikdash wasn't missing anything. And again, a play on Shlomo, shalem, shilam et habayit, he made sure that the Beit HaMikdash had everything it needed. So while we're talking about all of these other buildings and all of these other concerns and Bat Paro, Shlomo still is in Beit HaMikdash, still bringing korbanot. Va'oni asa ha-melech Shlomo be'etz Yon Geber asher et elot asfat Yam Suf be'etz Edom. And Shlomo ha-melech got involved with the boating industry. And he made boats in Etzion Geber, which is near, let's say, for Eilat, near Eretz Edom. Vayishtach Hiram ba'oni et abadav anshe oniyot yodei hayam im avdei Shlomo. And Hiram, his good buddy, he sent in boats his servants, who were sailors, who knew the ways of the seas, with Shlomo, with his Shlomo's servants, and they were teaching them the ropes, so to speak, and they had this joint enterprise where Shlomo built the boats, and Hiram also had boats and also had sailors, and they went out on this joint expedition. Ve'avohu Ophira, they got to Ophir, which presumably is someplace in Africa, because that's where they're getting to from leaving from Eilat. Ve'ikhu misham zahav 420 kikar, and they came back with this tremendous find of gold, 420 kikar, which was almost 4 times the amount of gold that Hiram gave Shlomo. Presumably they split that in half or some other way, but they split it. Ve'yaviu el hamelech Shlomo, and they brought it to Shlomo hamelech. So we have the idea in this perek of Shlomo's kingdom, of Hashem appearing to Shlomo years after his tefillah in Beit HaMikdash to perhaps warn him once again to stay on the path, and the ideas of how Shlomo's kingdom is growing vastly in all directions and is requiring a lot more income, and things are getting a little bit perhaps spiraling out of control in regards to expenses, and Shlomo is going to be looking for other ways of increasing his economic power. Perhaps we'll see that coming up in Perek Yud.